Watch everybody in North County. God bless y'all. Let's give the North County people a big hand. God bless y'all. Do we have any visitors here today? Anybody visitor here for the first time? God bless y'all. God bless you. God bless you. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, we started a series called Exposed. Everyone say Exposed. Exposed. And it's designed to expose what is in our heart when we criticize and judge people, especially when we don't know all the facts. And we talked about being critical of people with alternative lifestyle, being critical of politicians, and not that we agree with those necessarily behavior or someone's fall, stumble, mistake, but it's how we respond to it and what we learn about our critical heart when we respond in certain ways. Today we have a guest, Ron Jeremies, who is a 35-year veteran of the adult film industry. Ron is not a Christian. He is still in the adult film industry, and we're going to interview him in a few minutes. And I know, have y'all all heard about that? Y'all heard about that? And you're like, why is he here? Well, hopefully by the end of the service, not only will you hear why he's here, but you will learn why he's here. And hopefully God's going to do something in your heart through our conversation. To be clear and to clarify a few misunderstandings, I don't know where these misunderstandings came from. This is not a debate on pornography at all. This is not a debate on Christianity at all. We're not here to try to get him saved in front of all y'all. We're doing that backstage, you know what I'm saying? and you know what? Ron is a friend, whether, you know, it doesn't matter. That's not the goal. The goal is to just love him, and him and God are going to work that out. But he's a great guy. Jesus doesn't love porn. He loves porn stars. There's a big difference between the people. And what that means is that Jesus' unconditional love for people is not his unconditional approval. He loves all of us, but he doesn't approve of all we do. So you don't want to confuse those things. Our goal today is to encourage you to love people that you may in your heart feel like you need to stay away from. It's one thing to love your friends. It's one thing to not be critical of your friends, which is hard enough to not be critical of your friends, much less people who do live a way that's contrary to the Bible. We want to do what Jesus did. We want to love people the way Jesus did. That's the goal. And a lot of us are far away from that, further than we think. Okay, so to that end, let's see your Bibles today. Word. We do a better job than that. Let's say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Please turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke. Luke chapter 19. The title of our message today is Ruthless Love. We want to encourage you to be ruthless in loving people, no matter who they are. If you are a visitor or you're watching online and you, it's for the first time or whatever, everybody is welcome here. We've gotten emails and Facebook posts from people responding to what we're going to do today, and these posts have represented that certain people are not allowed in church. That's not true here. It shouldn't be true anywhere. Everybody is welcome. And in case you didn't know, you're sitting around some scandalous people right now. And we are so glad they're here. Matter of fact, Jesus came and said, I came to heal the sick, not the healthy. I came to seek sinners, not the righteous. So if you're righteous, you don't even need to be here anymore. Matter of fact, we should be worshiping you. In this story, a man named Zacchaeus. Everyone say Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and the Bible says he was rich. Tax collectors were hated by people. It was acceptable to lie to tax collectors because they were so wicked, and they ripped people off. Jesus is walking through a town. The tax collector Zacchaeus was a short guy trying to see Jesus, but the crowd wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him in front of the line like a parade, and all the people lying in the streets. He was in the back, and they said, "You know, Zacchaeus, we don't like you. We're not going to help you out." But he wanted to see Jesus. So what he did was he ran ahead and he climbed into a tree to see Jesus because he knew Jesus would eventually get by that tree. And when Jesus got to the tree, Jesus saw him and he said, Zacchaeus, the hated man, the despised man in the community, he said, Jesus, come on out of the tree. I need to go to your house. I ain't going to any of all the houses. I want to go to his house. Ooh. Let's read chapter 19, verse 1. Everyone say, ouch. Would he want to come to your house? Mm-hmm. Verse 1, chapter 19, it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, because he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. What? How come he ain't come to my house? What's he going to Zacchaeus' house for? What's he got that I don't have? Faith. Faith. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 7, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is going to be the guest with a man who's a sinner. Jesus put his reputation on the line. Not that he cared what man thought. Matter of fact, in John chapter 2, he says he didn't care what man thought. He didn't put his trust in man because he knew what was in man, which was sinfulness. He says, I'm going over your house, and I know people are going to talk about me. Now, there's many reasons why he went over his house, but one of those reasons is to model us, to us, what to do. Don't worry about what people are going to think. You love who Jesus tells you to love, which is everybody. Everybody. He loves everybody. God's unconditional love does not mean unconditional approval. He says, I'm going to Zacchaeus' house because I want to love him. And guess what? He wanted to see me so bad, he was willing to put himself out and go in the tree and embarrass himself. That's the kind of guy I want to be around. Okay? And then it says, in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore 400% or four times or fourfold. Jesus said, today salvation has come to the house because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. The reason Jesus came, think with me. It's real simple, basic. The reason Jesus came was to save sinners, of which all of us are. Everybody on the planet. The reason Jesus came is to save sinners. What happens when sinners get forgiven, they forget they were sinners. And they forget that Jesus came to save sinners through them. It's not that I get saved, now I'm over here in a good line. Okay, God, go do your thing. But I'm over here in a good line. I ain't getting over there anymore. Oh, that's not the Bible. That's religious or Christian snobbery. Country club. Members only. Well, I'm going to go to church and, you know, we don't want any of them being sinners there. Oh, you're surrounded by sinners. And the closest one to you is the one standing in your shoes. So, now, some of y'all are conflicted because you're like, man, I'm supposed to be a holy person. I'm not supposed to be associated with that. You're supposed to be a light in darkness. Now, you have to discern by the leading of the Holy Spirit when and how you do that. But you're never, never called to isolate yourself forever. Jesus was a friend of sinners. When he saw Matthew, who was a tax collector, he said, Matthew, follow me. He goes over Matthew's house. All Matthew's tax collector friends come to the party. And Jesus is at the party. And the Pharisees, the self-righteous, said to his disciples, to Jesus' disciples, why did your master go hang out with them? The very thing we've been hearing all week. Why is Jesus with them? Hanging out with sinners. Jesus was at a Pharisee's house. The Pharisees were the religious self-righteous. And a woman of the night came in. And she's wiping his feet with her hair, crying on his feet, washing his feet. And one of the Pharisees, a religious says to himself, Simon, if Jesus was really a prophet, if he was really spiritual, if he was really religious, he wouldn't let that lady touch him if he knew who she was. Jesus, of course, not only did he know who the lady was, he knew what this brother was thinking in his head. He said, Simon, you got something to say to me? Oh, this is read Luke chapter 7. Jesus is the bomb. He's like, what you got to say? Don't be huffing. Just say what you got to say. He says, Simon, this is what I do. And this is why you miss it, Simon. This is who the people you should be loving. This is the people we should be loving. So if this is your first time here, or if you're watching online because you're scared to come, I'm telling you as the pastor, please come. Please come. Now, three things in your Bible. Number one, identify and describe any judgmental attitude you have toward loving the Zacchaeuses of the world. You have to pray and ask God to show you your issue. What holds you back? Why you're so critical? Why you're so self-righteous? Why you're so a better than in your own mind? The Bible says that God, that the world will know us by our love. Doesn't mean you, for the 10th time, you approve of people's behavior. It means you love them. God will deal with their heart. So you have to ask yourself, am I that stuck up? Am I better than in my own mind? Is that really what I feel? And then deal with God on that. Deal with God on that. Some of y'all people have said stuff on Facebook about the church, about me, not even knowing what's going to happen. You got to deal with God on that. Why would, don't do that. Just deal with God on that. That's what the series is about, by the way. Okay, number two. In your notes, be willing and available to love the Zacchaeuses of the world. In other words, if God says, I want you to go minister to that person, I want you to go pray for that person, I want you to give that person a ride, I want you to go buy that person a meal, God, I'm good. Now, personally, I love people. And I know everybody's not a people person. Doesn't mean that you're exempt from loving people. You just might not be as do it as often. But I'm going to tell you, you go meet people that are not like you, you will grow as a Christian and you will be incredibly blessed. Incredibly blessed. I love going to prisons, talking to people. Why? Because I get to meet people who are just like me and just like you. Do you know that one out of every two guys watched or watches pornography? And I don't know everything, but one thing I know for sure is that there are guys in this room right now who watch pornography. And one thing I know for sure, there's women in this church right now sitting in this room, listening online who watch pornography. And what I know for sure, there's teenagers in here who watch pornography. And what I know for sure is that some of y'all are going to do it today. Sunday is the highest volume of pornography watches Sunday. Sunday. Average age of first contact with pornography is 11 years old. Your kids watch pornography. And I would challenge you parents to ask each other about which one of you watch, if you do, and your kids. Straight up ask them. And right now, some of your hearts are beating because you're scared of the answer you're going to get. We got your own issues to deal with home before you're going to criticize somebody else. Life is messy. Mm-hmm. So with all that said, we want to invite our guests up to the stage. Now, here we got two guests. We have Ron Jeremy, who's an active adult filmmaker, and he is not a Christian. He is a friend. We also have Craig Gross, who's a pastor of Triple X Church. They've been traveling together debating pornography. Again, this is not a debate. We're just going to talk a little bit. And they've been traveling together. They developed a very strong relationship. So I would like you to welcome to the stage Ron and Craig. Amen. Number three. How are you, big fella? You got your water there?
Holy water?
This is holy water.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Just.
Put it back.
Just want to make sure you got it. You been having a good time today?
Yeah.
Are you tired?
A little.
A lot of church.
It's a lot of church. This is like a whole year's worth of church in one day for you.
Now, Ron asked me when we were sitting there, Miles, he goes, how much do they pay to get in here? I was like, Ron, it's church.
I forgot. I'm used to synagogue. I just go there for the... I go to temple. It's usually for the coffee and the Danish. That's about it.
So, Ron, tell us about yourself, your upbringing, and your faith background.
Well, I've come across people like Craig, of course, and you and Tammy Faye and a lot of religious Christians who I've talked to and who've discussed a lot of philosophy and religion. And I enjoy these conversations, you know. I'm a Jewish boy, born and raised that way. Got bar mitzvah at age 13. And my parents were Jewish, grandparents Jewish, great-grandparents Jewish, so long line of Jewish folks. And again, it's interesting because we're basically the same, that we have the same Old Testament. Then you guys have the new one, and ours stopped right at the first.
Well, so you guys have the beginning of the movie, and then we have the whole movie.
That's a heck of a way of putting it. Yeah. I didn't know, we're just a little confused a bit about, you know, the whole Jesus thing. But I always tell my friends, if you want to be really smart, you know, you pray to Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucianism, Moses, Allah. This way, when you die, somebody you talk to has got to be up there, you know.
What if it's Jesus that's up there?
I'll ask to have 5 minutes back on earth to punch my rabbi right in the face. If I go to heaven and see Jesus, I'm going, the Jews were wrong. I'll go to earth, punch the canton rabbi.
Are you going to say, man, Jesus is a Jew? How do we miss that? tell us about y'all's relationship and your ministry.
Yeah, well, so I run XXXChurch.com, which is a website helping people that are caught up in pornography. And we started 10 years ago. We're actually in town this week to celebrate that. And Ron and I met, and we were asked to debate each other. Because he's, you know, and that's what we did here. Actually, you guys were the first church that we ever did this at. But we've done this 60, 70 times at college campuses. We just did it in Australia. And so when you travel that much and go that far, we spend a lot of time together. So I think we're opponents on stage, but off stage we become great friends. And to me, that's what the message of Jesus is about. Like, it doesn't divide, it unites. And so it's fun. Like, some nights we'll drive into a college, and I'm driving because I don't trust him to drive. He falls asleep too much. So... So I'll be driving, then Ron's like ducking in the car. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, there's a line out of kids. We can't ruin the debate for him. I was like, so it kind of feels a little bit like wrestling. We've done that once. But
they get sad if they see us as friends. They go, oh, dude, they know each other. Like, you know, that Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis thing where they couldn't even shake hands. Yeah. There was that much hatred. So it builds up the debate if they think we're not friends. Uh-huh. So that's why I try to avoid us being seen together.
But, you know, and then I think over time, you know, to me, like I care for Ron, we're friends, and over time, we started to get to know each other off this stage. You know, Ron's invited me to certain places I'll never go, then he's invited me to other places I do go. On Easter, Ron went to church with me, and he said, man, that worship music stuff, that's when I first knew that Ron had a love for worship music. And we're in the green room back there. In the green room, the music's playing really low. He's like, can we get that music turned up in here? And that's where I feel like you hear.
Your exact words were, you actually videotaped it. I'm hearing an adult film actor say, turn up the worship music. This I never thought I'd.
But that's exactly what, I mean, you just preached. Like, that's Zacchaeus. Hold on, Ron, I'm making a point here. Because... I'll get your questions. I don't. The whole Zacchaeus message of this guy wanting to see Jesus, and you don't think the porn star wants to hear more music, you know, worship music, so you get mad at the church for having him, yet all he wants to do is hear more music, so louder. I said, come out here and do it. He said, there's food back there, so.
It's another problem. But you know, it's funny, that music, these guys are great. And I love worship music. It's great. And you know, look at the people's faces. Like, I like to watch audiences, and I'm not making this up. You go to, like, a Guns N' Roses or a Metallica concert, and you look at all the kids' faces, they're like this. Seek, search, and destroy. They're like mean, man. But then you go to gospel brunch, you know, they have a House of Blues, and you look at everyone's faces. I swear to God, they're all like this. They can be Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, doesn't matter. They're like, and I said, wait a minute, I'm doing the same thing. Yeah. Everyone smiles, they look up, and they have this big, happy smile on their faces, and their lives, they feel better when they leave. Uh-huh. There was something to that music.
Well, God, when you worship the Lord, you come into His presence in a more real way than when you're not, so you're experiencing God.
Sure.
And I want you to tell us about your experience with God when God said to you, Ron, here I am.
It's a great, I was lucky to have that happen. And yes, He did really show Himself to me in a very nice way, or a bizarre way. There's actually in my autobiography and also in Bill Kennison's biography. Anybody ever hear of Sam Kennison? He was a comedian who actually was a Pentecostal minister. And his whole family was, dad was, brothers are. And this is really a bizarre story. You might find this, you know. But anyway, we're driving home. We're discussing the Lord. Sam had been to, he was a minister, and he actually studied Judaism as well as Christianity. And he was a Pentecostal, a revivalist, done work in Oklahoma and in Illinois. And so we're discussing the presence of God. And I said to him at that time, I think that there was a Lord above. I mean, I wish I had more proof sometimes. So we're in New Jersey going to the Catch Rising Star Comedy Club in Manhattan to meet up with Robin Williams and Stephen Stills from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, who are friends of Sam's. And we're going in this path in New Jersey. It's raining out. And then the car skids off, as we're discussing the Lord, the car skids off the embankment, turns upside down. Now, again, this is in two books, folks. This isn't a lie. And it skids down
it's
the embankment.
In two books. That means it's
two
true.
Books. Both New York Times bestsellers. Did I say that? Okay. And it's going down the hill.
60 miles an hour.
60 miles an hour, miraculously avoiding every single tree. You know, just shot down this hill, this gully, hit no trees, coasted to a stop.
Upside down.
Upside down. We're pulling glass off of our faces. You know, no bruises, no blood, no scratches, nothing. But we're all full of glass. So we're taking it off each other's faces and bodies. We then brush off our clothes. We hitchhike, and we get a ride to Catch Rising Star. He does his comedy act. You know, the car collapsed on itself. Had we stayed in the car, would have been dead. If the car had hit a tree, would have been dead. I looked at this path and said, how the heck did this happen? The car zigzagged and avoided every tree upside down. So we go to the comedy club. We tell this story to the guys there. You know, and we mentioned it. Sam mentions that, you know, while we're discussing God, this happened. You know, and I said to Sam, you know, you go to great lengths to prove a point. You know, and then at that point, Bill Kennison, his brother, and Carl Above, who's his opening act, said at the same time, Sam wasn't the one proving the point.
God was revealing himself to you.
Well, there's no other way of explaining it. Because if you see that path, to avoid every single tree and coast to a stop on the bottom of a hill could not have happened without his help.
How does that make you feel, knowing that God's hand was on that? And it was an accident. Car was destroyed, but good came out of it. You were alive, and you now realize and believe, no doubt, there's a God.
That's correct.
How does that make you feel that God went through that length for you?
Well, he did it twice. Another incident Craig knows about, you know, involving a pet where the Lord showed himself to me again. Mm-hmm. So it made me have no question whatsoever that he's there, you know. Just that, again, there are Messianic Jews who accept Jesus. It's just, we're a little confused on that, you know, a little bit.
And we'll continue our conversation that we've been having about right. that.
I mean, we believe in the Lord. I believe in the Lord 100%, uh-huh. You know. I'm still learning on the other stuff, you know.
Okay, the Lord. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. So all these people here, they believe in the Lord.
Well, me too.
And these people believe, not all, some don't. Hopefully some don't. We always want the visitors here. But our responsibility as Christians is to love the rest of the world as we were loved, so the rest of the world would experience Christ through us. And in your business, I'm sure you've had positive experiences with Christians and negative, people who are critical of you, judgmental of you. We're trying to learn not to be as critical and to be more loving. That's what this sermon series is about. So I want you to give us experiences of people who have loved you biblically. You may not use the word biblically, but in a way where I want to know more about that, and that was a blessing, versus people who have been critical and judgmental, mean to you in the name of Christ.
It's a whopper.
The nice one was
we had services before. You know,
it's okay. They know it. They know.
The ones who were like you, Craig, Tammy Faye, when I was on the Surreal Life, Tammy Faye Baker, Tammy Faye Mesner, and I've had other, and Sam Kennison. I had religious friends who talked to me a lot about Jesus and about the philosophy and about my religion, and they were very, very helpful. And I think they helped bring me closer to God, I think. And I know Craig has. We sit and talk sometimes for hours about things that I'm just confused about. I've talked to you about things that I'm confused about. And I feel a lot of love coming from you guys, and it feels great. You know, there's no attitude, no criticism. Like, and this compared to the other spectrum, when I go to some kind of trade shows, conventions, video store appearances, even rock and roll clubs where I'm emceeing, where there'll be signs outside. It doesn't happen a lot, but maybe a couple times, maybe a few times a year. They'll say, you'll burn in hell, or what you do is disgusting, you're going to die and repent, and it's things like that. And of course, it's, well, it kind of hurts anyone's feelings. You know, I'm going through a line of sign goers who are looking at me like I'm some monster. So it's a little uncomfortable. What's interesting, though, is that it very, almost never happens in a church. They've been very understanding and very nice. And what's funny, too, is that Craig is so funny because, you know, when these guys carrying signs are cursing at me, he's out there yelling at him before I can. And he's like, hey, don't you criticize Ron. That's my job. You know? And who are you guys, false prophets? You know, and he gives the guy a hard time. Where do you come from? What denomination? Who are you? You think you can criticize like that? Because his attitude is always, there are other organizations, like the Pink Ladies and whatever, that just say, you know, Christ hates what you do, you're sinners. And then there's his attitude with Bibles that say, Jesus loves porn stars. So it's kind of like what you preach as well, yeah. That it's through love you get change, not by just criticizing.
And let me clarify, because some of you, I'll say the word conflicted. You may be conflicted right now saying, well, it is wrong. And if you don't have Christ, you will burn in hell. There's a difference between what is true and stating something that's true and that you believe versus how you say something. If someone is addicted to crack, you don't want to go up to them and kick them while they're down and say, you dumb dope fiend. You want to say, how can I help you get to rehab? There's a difference. And so, yes, we would believe that pornography is a sin. And yes, we would believe that if people don't repent from their sin, they will go to hell. That is true. But if our responsibility is to get them to Christ, if our responsibility is to love them the way Christ loves them, now we have to ask, how do we do that? Ron and I, we'll sit here and say we disagree, but we're friends. I don't need to beat him over the head. He knows what I believe. I know what he believes. And so we can love each other. And in the end, love will win out in the end. So when you hear him say, well, these people say that, you might say, well, it may be true. All of y'all who are married and you have relationships, especially you guys, you've learned over time. And if you haven't, you will. And please learn this quickly. That you do not want to say to your wife everything you think. And you do not want to say everything you think the way you want to think it, because there are consequences. You want to be tactful. You don't always have to be right. You don't always have to lord something over somebody and beat them on the head. We've gotten emails. I mean, literally, when people are saying, yes, I feel loved at the church, we've gotten emails saying they shouldn't feel comfortable at the church. We should beat them on the head. That is not biblical. God does that. You want to say something?
I think the thing, too, is, a lot of Christians see non-Christians as a category, not as people. Like, oh, you know, and a lot of Christians I know don't even know non-Christian friends or have them. And I think what you're seeing up here, I wonder and I question sometimes, like, I mean, how's this work? Like, what am I supposed to do? And I think God's just called us to love other people as much as we love ourselves and ask nothing in return. And this is a process. It's not a scorecard, and it's not a notch on a chart. And, you know, I hear it all the time. What are you doing wasting your time with this guy? You haven't heard what the conversations that we don't broadcast. You haven't heard those things. And I mean, Christ didn't look at any of us as a waste of time. And so I just encourage you to, I mean, that person that you think would never get to church, never be interested in hearing your story. I mean, I think more people are open to the gospel than we give credit for. But this is just a messy process that takes time and takes you just being yourself and being real.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to divulge the conversation that Ron and I had in the back, but we are having very honest conversations. But in the context of friendship, not in the context of accusation. And I heard Josh McDowell, which is a longtime minister, one of the greatest ministers of our time, said that rules without relationships are going to be broken. Everything is done in the context of relationship. Religion is rules. Christianity is relationship. And when God sees you mess up, you know what? He lovingly woos you back to do the right thing. Listen, our time has run out, but I want to give you a little gift and ask you to use this gift. Got a little harmonica here for you, because he plays the harmonica.
Oh, he does. Oh, that's great, man. They can guess this song. Right. Wow. They're going to guess this song, I think. got a Jew.
That's a Jewish boy playing Amazing Grace. So to grant equal time to the Jews out there.
Here's your thing. Listen, we want to pray for you, and we appreciate you being with us today, both of you guys. So let's pray for them right now. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for Ron and Craig. Thank you for the special relationship that they have built and the example it is to all of us. We pray you continue to bless their relationship, bless Ron's journey. We pray that as you continue to reveal yourself to him, he would surrender himself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. God bless you, man.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Luke 19. There was a man who found this mangy dog, no hair, broke leg, teeth broke out, fleas. He loved on the dog, gave the dog some Rogaine, got his hair to grow back, put a little splint on his leg. At first, when he found the dog, he would throw a stick, and the dog would just look at the stick, got the dog to go get the stick and bring it back. He became a real nice pet. And then all of a sudden, the dog ran away. He was brokenhearted, thinking all he'd done for that dog, he would pay him back by running away. Then a month later, he heard a scratching at the door, and the dog came back with another dog that was like he was. Can anybody raise your hand? That dog is you. Some of you, can I get a, oh, give me a barking. Some of you ladies can go, ow, ow, ow. Either you're being mended or you need to begin that process by asking Christ to be your Savior. If you've ever had any hint that you need to do something before you ask Christ to be your Savior, that's not true. He wants you to come as you are. I used to do cocaine right in this neighborhood, and my drug dealer was from this neighborhood, actually my former drug dealer. I don't have a drug dealer anymore, but... My former drug dealer goes to church here. His family goes to church here. Amen. Amen. And when I came to Christ, I didn't say, God, I'm going to get off cocaine first. He said, just come as you are. Zacchaeus, let's read the story. Chapter 19, verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste. I must stay at your house. And Jesus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He was so excited that God would love him, even when everyone else hated him. Even when he was an outcast, God says, I don't care about that. All I care about is, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be forgiven? That's the only thing you need to answer. There was a guy in the Bible who was crippled 38 years, and Jesus went up to him and said, do you want to be well? And the guy started giving all these excuses why he couldn't be made well. And Jesus, in his own way, said, that's not what I asked you. Do you want to be well or not? Let me take care of how it happens. Well, if I get saved, what do I got to do? Let Christ take care of that. Do I got to change my lifestyle? Let Christ take care of that. Do I have to change my friends? Let Christ take care of that. The one thing you have to do is decide, do you want to give your life to Christ and receive the salvation he offers and only he offers? No other religious leader, and I stress, no other religious leader, and I stress, no other religious leader claimed to have died for the sins of the world, claimed to rise from the dead and did rise from the dead, or died for anybody. They gave you wisdom and philosophy, but only Christ said, I am dying to pay for your sins. And so Christ is asking you, do you want the salvation you can only get from me? Don't worry about everybody else. Just worry about yourself right now. The answer is either no, I want to take my chances on my own, and therefore, unfortunately, when you die, you will be rejected by him because you basically told him no, and you said yes to the alternative, which is hell. Or you could say, yes, Lord, I believe, and by faith, please forgive me of my sin. And in that case, Jesus is like, I'm on it. Just like Zacchaeus. Everybody thought Zacchaeus was an outcast. Jesus did not, because he saw his heart. That's all he cares about. What's in your heart? Doesn't care what you did this morning. Doesn't care what you had planned to do tonight. He cares about what you want to do right now. Do you want to give your life to Christ right now? Do you want to receive forgiveness right now? That's all he wants to know. So if you do, whether you're in North County, whether you're here, whether you're watching online or phone app, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, because now you have your opportunity. Bow your heads and close your eyes and listen very carefully. Some of you in here know somebody in this room who needs to give their life to Christ. Begin praying for them. Pray that God would reveal their heart, what they need to do, and give them the courage and the faith to do it. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, everybody. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death, physical and spiritual death. Spiritual death happens in a place called hell, eternity separated from God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died and on the third day rose and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So today, right now, if you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, if you would like to receive from him the forgiveness that he offers you, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that I am a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. But I believe Jesus loves me, that he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior and my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up, and by standing you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to Christ, surrendering your burden to Christ. If you're in North County, someone's going to be with you as you stand there as well. If you ask Christ to be your Savior, what you told God is, I don't belong to myself anymore. So you shouldn't have to worry about what anybody's thinking. This is between you and God. So if you prayed that prayer, whether you're here in North County or watching online, there's a little box to check on your screen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you right now just to stand to your feet by faith and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. Just stand to your feet and acknowledge. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. We see you all over the room. We see you in the balcony. God bless you. If you're watching online on your phone, please let us know. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. Now, in a minute, we're going to ask all of you who are standing to come down to the altar. In a minute, if you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. The rest of us, it's not time to leave yet. We're going to cheer for them as they come down. So right now, if you're standing up, just come down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down.